In the name of Jesus.
Amen. Amen.
Nicodemus is one of those people who stands on the edge of the New Testament, but we really don't know that much about him. John identifies him as a Pharisee, and he tells us that he came to see Jesus late in the night. And so Nicodemus comes in the darkness to the one who is the light, seeking light. He doesn't really know what to ask Jesus, but his head is full of questions. Have you ever felt that way? So what does he do? He does what many of you students do the first time that you sit down with your advisor or go to one of your profs in their office to ask them a couple of tough questions. He breaks the ice by saying a few flattering things. Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher come from God, for no one can do these signs which you are doing if God were not with him. Nicodemus points to Christ's works, but he doesn't yet know that those works point to Christ. Nicodemus has heard stories. Water turned to wine, the deaf hear, the mute speak, the demons are cast out. He wants to ask Jesus something, but he doesn't know what it is or how to even ask it. His religion is so tidy, so neat, so organized, but yet it's not. It's missing something, or perhaps someone. Nicodemus has every doctrinal duck waddling nicely in a row, or so he thought. But then there's this Jesus, this man from God who acts like God. Who on earth is he? Jesus tosses Nicodemus a curveball with a double amen to make the point all the more clear to Nicodemus that he had better listen up. Unless one is born from above, he isn't able to see the kingdom of God. Jesus is basically saying to him, so, is that what you want to know but are afraid to ask me, Nicodemus? Do you want to see the kingdom of God? Well, then you need to be recreated, reborn from above, and your religion can't do it. You need to become something completely new, a whole new creation. Now, Nicodemus is puzzled at this. He hasn't seen a pitch quite like that before. He's feeling a little brushed back off the plate. Sorry, I got baseball playoffs on my mind today. But how? How can he enter his mother's womb a second time and be born? What are you saying, Jesus? Now, Jesus has him right where he wants him. He's got him all set up. You don't ever want to face Jesus on the mound. Jesus now tosses Nicodemus a blazing heater on the outside corner with another double amen for good measure. Unless one is born of water and spirit, he isn't able to enter the kingdom of God. You see, Nicodemus, what is born of flesh is flesh, and what is born of the Spirit is spirit. Don't be amazed. Don't try to rationalize it or put it into one of your neat, nice, little, shiny little boxes. You can no more box up the Spirit than you can catch the wind in Indiana. All you can do is listen. You are given to receive. Hear his voice preaching to you and believe. Water and spirit, wind and water. That's the creative womb for the word to conceive and to bear. In the beginning, when God made the heavens and the earth was formless and empty, a chaos of watering nothingness, and the Spirit of God fluttered over the face of the deep. When the children of Israel came up to the Red Sea, the wind of God blew across the face of the sea, and the waters parted to let the Israelites through. When Jesus was baptized in the water of the Jordan, the Spirit descended like a dove as he stood there in the water. At Pentecost, when 3,000 were baptized in water, the Spirit blew like a rushing wind through the church, giving the church breath to speak and languages to speak in. Water and word, water and spirit. Dear friends in Christ, it doesn't matter whether you are a seminarian or a deaconess student or perhaps considering becoming one. It also doesn't matter if you are a prof with a lot of educational alphabet soup at the end of your name. You must be born anew from above. And that doesn't mean you get to decide either. You didn't decide to be born the first time, did you? No one consulted you in your mother's womb. You were too busy sucking your thumb anyway. And if you were like me and were baptized as a baby, no one consulted you about that either. You're probably still sucking your thumb. For all I know, maybe some of you still are. But the bottom line is this. It is God's doing. Baptism is his work and not yours ever. Your first birth was a stillbirth, spiritually speaking. You were born in the darkness, like Nicodemus, born dead in sin, and all the sins that bug you and all the sins that don't bug you, those are the symptoms of that stillbirth. Yes, you may have been bigger, brighter, and more beautiful than all the babies in the nursery, but you were born into the death of your father Adam, and you inherited his sin. Flesh begets flesh, and sinful flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. And you can't fix yourself either. You can't put it into a shiny, neat little box of your own making. You must die and rise. You must be born anew. And that comes from above. Not a second birth in the flesh. I'm sure all of you love your moms, but who would want to go through that a second time? Especially when you both know what's going on. Christ is talking here about a heavenly spiritual birth, this time from above, from the Spirit. You must be reborn from above, from where Christ came. Your first birth made you a child of your father Adam, but your new birth in Christ makes you a child of God. Well, this whole conversation leaves poor Nicodemus in the dark. How can these things be? He asked. Or maybe to put it another way, how can water do such great things? Who can blame him, really? How was Nicodemus to know that the one he was talking to in the night, rabbi to rabbi, would one day hang in the darkness in day turn to night to take the sin of the whole world into his dark death? How was Nicodemus to know that 3 days later this same Jesus would rise from the dead to bring the world into the dawn of the first day of the new creation? Well, we know one more thing about Nicodemus. Somewhere along the way, the Spirit's breath and Jesus' words have their creative way with Nicodemus. He and Joseph of Arimathea were the ones who took the body of Jesus from the cross and buried him. And that's only fitting, really, because here Jesus ultimately directs Nicodemus to the cross. Because on the cross, the forgiveness of sins was won for the whole world, and that same forgiveness of sins, along with the life and the salvation which it brings, is given to each and every one of you. And it is for each of you in the new birth of your baptism into Christ. 2 + 2 = 4. And the water, Spirit equals creation. It's the great calculus of the Bible, really. Wherever there is water and spirit, there is new creation in Christ, the Word made flesh. And so what Christ accomplished for all the world in his cross and resurrection, he does for you personally in the water of your baptism. And each one of you lives walking wet. Each of you in your baptism has the irrefutable evidence and assurance from God himself that you are new creatures in Jesus Christ. You were baptized, but even more, you are baptized. How can water do such great things? Certainly not just the water, but the Word of God in and with the water does these things, along with the faith which trusts the Word of God in the water. So the old is gone, the new has come, sin is past, righteousness and holiness are your re-birthright and your future. You are no longer in the dark like Nicodemus. You bask in the light of Christ and his forgiveness. You, each of you, are new creatures. You have been reborn. You are baptized. You are free. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.